Well, good morning. What a beautiful day it is. Amen. I want to get you in, get you ready, get you primed up now, because the brother's in the house. So every now and then you got to say amen, or yeah, pastor, preach it, or something like that. That's kind of the way we roll in some of our African-American tradition. It's called call and response. So you're okay if you're just feeling like a amen just means you're saying yes to what something that God has said is true. So you get an opportunity to say amen, that's true. I agree with that. I agree with the word of God. That's what amen means. So if you feel so moved this morning, please don't hesitate to do so. I love that man, Mark Lau. He's been such a blessing to me as a brother in true diversity as we have spent time together, getting to know one another. And that's really what God desires in terms of Christians across ethnic lines and within your own community, that we would begin to reach our neighbors, that we would begin to share the gospel and the good news with one another, that we would love one another, that men would know that we are disciples of Christ because of our love for one another. How exciting it is. I am glad to be here this morning. And I always have to come, and Mark's done it, but I need to just say something, because that is what it's all about, is we have roses that represent new life in Jesus Christ. That means that men, women, boys, and girls have stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light. They have made a commitment to Christ. They are born again. They are new creatures in Christ. And behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. And that's what happens when we come into relationship with Christ. Now, if you're visiting here today, or you are a current member here today, and you've yet to be represented here by one of these flowers, I want to say that up front, because I know sometimes we can get distracted. We may want to go back and get a cup of coffee or hit the bathroom or something like that. I want you to know up front that God loves you. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you, and God cares about you and desires a wonderful, personal, intimate relationship with him. That's what we get when we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives. Let me give you a shortcut. A lot of you are any millennials out there and Gen X's and all that. I'm moving on up to the boomers. So all the cross-generational, God wants you to know that he desires a relationship with you, and that there is nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ. This is the best season of my life. I'm going to be speaking here in Genesis in just a moment. But as we think about Black history, I want to come today just to represent that just a little bit. I know you guys have been celebrating that here all of February. I say they do to brothers like that. You know, some, they give us the shortest month in the year, so we get a month. But I want you to know, Black history is not Black history is not just about Black people. It's American history. We are part of America's fabric. And so we are eager to celebrate that. I was going to tell you some stories about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Sojourner Truth, George Washington Carver. I was going to share some of those, but I realize now at my age, I am history. So I'm historical. So I could tell you a little bit about my story and what God has done. And just let me share. I don't have enough time to share it all. It's so much, and the older I get, the longer the story becomes. So I don't have time to go into all of that. But if I can just, briefly give you a summary of what has happened, just let me tell you a little bit about Christ Community Chapel. Well, let me tell you a little bit, just to give you a little bit of my history first. First of all, I am one of six children. My grandfather was a slave. He was born into slavery. I'm one generation from slavery. My grandfather was actually born in 1859 into slavery. My father was the youngest of 18 children. And so we were from Alabama, moved north. Father got a job in the steel mills. It was a very difficult life. My father, so while slavery was the date of it was the Emancipation Proclamation, well, I believe it was 1863 or 1865, one of those days. But while it happened then, we know that because of that history, it's been a very difficult time in America. But there's a God who loved us. And we see that now in hindsight, how much God loved us and delivered us and kept many of us from many of the things that would cause us from loving him. And one of the things I can say about my people is that we found hope in a Savior, and his name was Jesus Christ. That's why I went into many of the old Negro spirituals, and him was all about heaven. And they sang that first song, "I'm heaven bound," because we know this wasn't our home. We know we're not here to stay. And so we have hope in a Savior that has gone and prepared a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. Isn't that good news? Amen. All right. I love it. Y'all did that well. Can I get up here a little bit more often, Pastor? I can. If you get a chance, though, come down to Highland Square. So a number of years ago, I had a congregation. God had called me, and God gives us a call, and we'll see some of that about Abram today. But God gives us a call, and he called Abram. He called Abram to go and do something. And many times when God calls us to himself, it's sacrifice involved. That means we have to leave things we're familiar with. We have to do things that we hadn't planned on doing. But when we're obedient to God, God is glorified, and we are blessed as a result of it. About 16 years ago or so, I met Pastor Jim College and Joe Coffey in different venues, if you would. Jim's wife and my wife worked together in a ministry, and they had a mandatory Christmas party that husbands had to come along. So we went and hung out with them, and that's where I met Jim College. And life has never been the same since. I had a great time with him. Jim and I began to talk about life. We begin to talk about black and white history in America. And as Christians, how does that play out for us? And so he invited me after that to come and have lunch with him. And we begin to meet for lunch at different times and just talk about life and what it looked like to be diversity, what it looked like in the church and those kind of things. Joe Coffey, I met in another venue. I met Joe Coffey at CBCA. And Joe Coffey was chaplain there, and many times Joe would take students. He had a lot of mission trips. He would take students to Dominican Republic. If you know anything about Dominican, there are a lot of people in Dominican who are like me, at least outwardly, color-wise. They're brown. And so Joe was convicted by God that he was doing a lot of ministry in another country with people of a different, obviously, persuasion. But he didn't have any friends here in America that were people of color, black people in particular. And so Joe was convicted of that and decided to do something about it and begin to reach out and try to find some people who were of color that he could develop a relationship with. And so that happened. Joe and I met in CBCA, and his son played football. My son played football at the same time. We began to interact and develop a relationship. And about 4 years after that, as I was meeting my church, we were meeting in a little library downtown Akron, and Joe asked if we would consider coming to be a part of a campus in Hudson. And we would take our church and join in with Hudson Community Chapel at that time. And as usual, I looked at him and I said, "Hudson?" He said, "Yeah, Hudson, don't answer it right now. Just pray about it." I said, "Well, okay, I'll do that." And I went home and told my wife, "Listen, this guy asked us about praying about maybe coming and being a part of Hudson Community Chapel." She said, "Hudson." I said, "Hudson. Just pray about it, baby. Don't make any decisions yet. Just pray about it." And so I said, "Listen, I need to go talk to my peeps about it." I went down and got my peeps, and we met. And I said, "Look, some people have invited us to come and be a part of a church." And they say, "Where?" I said, "Hudson." They said, "Hudson." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, we don't know if we can do that or not. We don't know about Hudson. Hey, this is America, and we understand that there are things that divide us, blacks and whites in particular." I said, don't answer yet. Just pray about it. We begin to pray. So I said, "I can't answer those questions." Invited Joe and Jim to come down, and they put them on the hot seat. And they said, "Hey, what about this? Will they receive, allow us to keep their children in nursery, blah, 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 marriages. What would that look like if people fall in love of different races? What would that look like?" And as best as they could, they answered those questions. And so in 1999, we made the trek to Hudson, Ohio, and became part of, a great movement of God and what he's doing and continues to do. In this day, I'll always love the ministry for the heart. I love the heart of Christ Community Chapel. I love the heart that we want to reach the world. It's our desire, God's desire to reach the world. Thus our purpose statement, knowing Christ, sharing the gospel, the evangel, to grow, to mature in Christ, to grow and then to serve, find places to serve. I love that because that is Bible. That is what God calls for us to do. We're most like Jesus when we're serving. And so we said yes to that. I ministered there. We ministered there for about 11 years or so, and then they asked us to go and become a part of, or we would be become a part of a campus in Akron, Ohio. And with that being said, in another week or so, we will be celebrating our fifth year in Highland Square. So we got a fifth birthday party coming up, and we're going to celebrate that. You're welcome to come down. That'll be on March 13th. We have what we call a gathering. Invite you all to come down and be a part of that. God has been at work, and we've seen God do great things, and we still have great expectations of God and from God and what he's doing. I'm not just talking about church transfer. I'm talking about people being redeemed, being saved, if I can use that word. Saved, brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, there's nothing better than a relationship with God. There's nothing better. I want to give you that shortcut. And so we continue to work in spite of difficulty, and it's a struggle. It hasn't been easy, but we have a God who's faithful. And that's some of what we'll look at today, a God who's very faithful in the life of Abram. And we continue our series Know the Story. Know the Story, and we're studying the patriarchs. And so Abram today, he's not yet Abraham. God has not changed his name yet. And so we're going to look at that today in the time that we have left. If you have your Bible, your iPod, your iPad, please open to Genesis chapter 13. Know the story. We want to look at four things today. We want to look at Abe's failure in the first four verses, Abe's failure and God's grace. 5 through 7, we're going to look at the test. And this is Abraham's second test of faith. The first one we'll see from the first four verses, that we look back in chapter 12 and how Abram failed. God called him out from his family. He went, and then a famine came in the land. I just want to tell you, famine comes in life. Sometimes it's a famine from food, but famine in broken relationships in our life. So as we look at Abe today, we want to look at Abe, not because he was some superhero. He wasn't. I love that God shows us who we are in the Bible through even the patriarch, that we are broken and flawed, and that we need a redeemer. We need a savior. And so we see it so with Abram. Abram makes decisions. When the famine comes, he's, instead of trusting God, instead of having faith, Abram goes and takes care of it himself, just like you and me, as we have opportunity to trust in ourselves as opposed to God. So he goes down. He goes down into Egypt, and Abe starts out with a lie. He's got a very fine woman, Sarai. She's fine. Abe knows she's fine. She knows she's fine. And he knows that when Pharaoh sees her, he's going to know that she's fine. So Abe says, hey, look here, baby. We can really go down here, and I need you to just help me out with something, because when Pharaoh sees you, he's going to know how fine you are, and he just might take me out. So I need you to tell a little liar. I need you to just to fabricate something a little different. Will you just tell him you're my sister? Sarah says, okay, I'll do that. And so they get there and they tell the lie. Pharaoh takes her for his wife. God is not pleased. He begins to bring all kind of plagues upon Egypt. And then Pharaoh discovers that it's for this reason that God is bringing these plagues. So he calls Abram and says, listen, man, why didn't you just tell me that this was your wife and not your sister? You need to get out of here, because God is bringing great plagues upon her. So they pack them up and they take them back to the land, the promised land. And in that promised land, they find themselves very, very rich. Now, what God shows us is that God has been faithful, even though Abram was not faithful. God is faithful. And so we get to chapter 13 after 12. And first, I got to jump back and just say this a bit, but I want you to know that Abram was 75 when he took this call. 75. So if you're older, don't think you're finished. I just got to put that plug in there. As we mature, God is not finished with us until he says he's finished. I know you want to move, some of you younger folks want to move us along, but we're not moving anywhere until God says it's time to move, okay? So, amen. Amen. I just had to get that plug in. So we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 13, Abram and Lot. Let me read it. So it says, so Abram. So why is the so there? The so is there because of what happened in chapter 12. So Abram went up to Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now, Abram was very rich. Now, God blesses us in spite of ourselves, not because of us. Amen? God blesses us in spite of ourselves, not because of you. If you think you got something good going on because of you, you need to get it right, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Just talking with a man recently and after last service, we just talking about our children and some of you, the legacy that we get. And some of so you pray for your children and you hope that they will have their own relationship with God, because it's a personal relationship. You can't have it before your daddy, grandpa, anyone else. It's a personal relationship. So you pray with your children. He said, like many of us, you're too smart for your own good. You get a little smart and you begin to say, you know what? I know more than God. After God created you in your mother's womb, numbered your days, and you get up and you get too big for God. I'm smarter than him. I know more than God. I'll make my own decision. Who says that's right? Who says that's wrong? You knew nothing. God created you and gave you all that you had. And now you question God. So God says, listen, I want to have this personal relationship with you. I want you to trust me, because this walk is about trust. It's about faith, and God will always give you opportunity to have faith. Trust me, he will. Trust me. I've been walking this way for 40 years, and I'm faced with new opportunities to have faith. God, will I trust you? He says, have I been with you like he did with the disciples so long, and yet you still do not know me? You don't know me. Have I not been faithful in your life? Have I not been faithful? As you look back, if you have any relationship with God and you walk with God for a while, you begin to say, yes, Lord, I could see. I'm not talking about what somebody told me. I'm talking about life experience. And that's one of the good things about experience. You get to know that this is true. When tough times come and you have difficulty, you begin to know, let me read God's word. God, it's a difficult time in my life. And you said that I could have peace that surpasses all understanding. That's your promise. Where is it? And watch God work. Watch the supernatural begin to take place, and the Spirit of God begin to give you a peace that's beyond comprehension. That's what God is able to do. And so here we go in verse chapter 13. And so Abram returns. It says, Negev, as far as the Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. What did Abram do here? Abram goes back to where he started. He goes back to the altar. He goes back to the place and he remembers. It's called repentance. I go back. I turn back. So Abram, we see, is a failure. You and I have failures in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got any keep it real Christians out here. We're broken and flawed. Even when God has redeemed us, we are failures sometimes in the way we trust God or not trust God. And so Abe shows us that the place to go is to repent, to turn around and turn back towards God. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in a place of failure this morning, repent. There's a God who loves you and desires for you to come back into right relationship with him. So turn, do a 180, turn away from it and get back to God. That's what happens with Abe. Abe gets back now and he says, I'm going to repent and I'm going to turn back to God. Verse 5, and Lot went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them. Dwelling together for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And at that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. So here we got the unbelievers. They represented pagans. Perizzites and the Canaanites, they represent the pagans, the unbelievers. And here we see Lot and Abram being used by God to be an example to them. So they're watching. They're watching all of this as God has given you and me the privilege to represent him in our families, in our communities, and in the marketplace. People are watching us. And many times you can see Christians begin to fight one another. And that's not God's plan for him. That doesn't bring God glory. And so they're watching Abraham and Lot. So this is test number two. Now, remember, Abram failed the first test. So here we go. He fails that. So him and Lot are there. Now, again, as I said, God has blessed us, as Scripture shows us, in spite of them, not because of them. And so they get there, and it says that they are rich. No, it says they are very rich. They're not just rich. They are very rich. And so God has blessed them in spite of themselves, in spite of his failure, in spite of his unfaithfulness. God continues to bless them materially. So here they find themselves back in the promised land, walking around. And so the herdsmen, the people amongst them, begin to argue. And so Abraham passes the test this time. Abraham does that. How does he do that? He calls Lot over and said, "Look here, brother. I'm your uncle. We're brothers. We're family. I've raised you. You've been with me. You've been blessed because of me. But instead of being selfish, I'm going to ask you to look out at the land, and I want you to choose. You choose left, you go left, I'll go right. You choose right, I'll go left." What's Abraham do? He applies the first principle of peacemaking. It's called glorify God. When you find yourself in a broken relationship with anyone, this principle will work anywhere. You need to ask God, "How can I glorify you in this? What's going to glorify you? And help me to do that." And so that's what Abram does to Lot. And Lot chooses the valley. It's lush and it's green and it looks good. And we need to know that sin comes from the world. What the worldly success looks like is totally different than God's success. We may look good and may have lots of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean success in God's eye. Now, we all know there's nothing wrong with having things. God doesn't mind us having things. He doesn't want things to have us. Okay, it's okay to enjoy God's creation. If God blesses you and you're in good shape and you've been blessed, then appreciate it. But don't let it have you. God wants to have you. We belong to him and him alone. So he applies this principle of peacemaking. He says, "I'm going to glorify God. You go your way, I go my way. And we will glorify God." So he passes this test. And Lot, again, chooses. He can't see because the Bible tells us that the world, what the world says is success, is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. So he looks out and sees by the eye. He looks up and looks out and sees something very lush. So he said, "I'm going to choose that for myself," like most of us would be. We'd be very selfish and say, "I want that for me. I want the best. I'll take that, unk. That's where I'm going." But he couldn't see beyond Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't see the sinfulness of that. And he gets down there, and the story goes on to tell us how sinful it was, and ultimately God begins to deliver him as we go forward. We will see that in the story. So then what happens? In verse 8, then Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between us. I don't want to argue with you. You got it, brother. You go whatever direction you want to go, and I'm gonna go the other direction. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes. He says, "Abram, look up. Look up and live. I want you to look up, and I want you to look out over the land, and I'm going to begin to bless you." And here's how he's going to bless him. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. I want you to look north, and I want you to look south, and I want you to look east, and I want you to look west. For all the land that you see, I will give to you." This is God's promise to Abram. "Your offspring will be as the dust of the earth." Anybody deal with dust in here? Anybody got any end dust at home? Ladies in your house, as you're cleaning, you're getting the end dust, because dust you can't count. You can't keep up with it, right? You clean it one day and you go back, that dust is there the next day or the next couple of days. And so it's something you're always chasing. That's just within the context of a home, let alone the dust out in the world and where that dust comes from. God says, I'm gonna bless you to the point where your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. I'm going to promise you something. I'm going to bless you. And guess what? We stand here today because of this promise. 4,000 years ago, God promised this to Abram. Here we are talking about him today because of God's legacy and the legacy that he left, that disciples were being made. Jesus continues that in the New Testament. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to make others. I want you to pass on this good news to others. Go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Pass it on. Love other people. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them then to observe all that I've commanded you. And guess what? I'm going to give you a promise. I'll be with you always. To New Testament church, God has promised to be with us, to never leave us, and to be with us forever, working on his authority and not our own authority, according to the power that mightily works within us. Then he tells them, arise and walk, he says, through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at the Hebron, and place, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So he goes back and he gets back in right relationship with God. He says, walk. I want you to walk as far as you can walk. And all of that's going to be yours. I want you to claim it because God has a plan for you and for me, a wonderful plan. And he shows us through Abraham's failure, through Abraham's repentance, through Abraham's now newfounded trust and faith in God. If anything we can get out of this today, we know that God desires for us to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We can do a lot of things, but God will give us opportunities. Those opportunities will never stop coming as long as you are in this life. Who choose you today, whom you're going to serve. By faith, will I trust you today, God? Or will I trust someone else? Will I trust something else? Will I trust myself? Or will I trust you? We have decisions to make every day. Amen? We make decisions every day. Choose today whom you're going to serve. Who am I going to follow? What decisions are facing you today? I want to encourage you, and God wants to encourage you today to choose him, to get in his word, to get brothers and sisters around you who can give you good counsel, because we're not in this alone. We have God and we have one another. In the counsel of many, there's wisdom. God desires for us to use those around us, to be a part of them, to share our lives. You heard that about the men's fraternity, not the men's fraternity, but CLC, and how those men are building relationships of people they can trust and call upon. We all need somebody. We need somebody that we can trust and put our faith in through God, who have put their faith in God, who will give us great counsel. I want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in a difficult place, know that you're not alone. God loves you and desires that you will repent. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know somebody here today is struggling with that, and you need to repent from whatever you're dealing with. Turn back to God. Turn to God. Come to God. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship, then we encourage you to do so. If you belong to God and you're walked away and you're doing it in your own way, in your own strength, God desires that you would come back to him, that you would spend time with him, that you would fellowship with him, that you would allow him to nurture his presence in your life. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? Amen. If I could sing, I'd sing that song to you. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Amen. We adore God. We got a wonderful God. I am so privileged to come and speak to you today. I thank God for this opportunity. I never take it for granted when God allows me to open his precious, infallible word. It's a privilege because it will accomplish what it's been sent forth to do. And I'm privileged to be his tool and his instrument this morning. Thank you all for coming this morning. You've made a good decision to come today. We hope, if you're a visitor in particular, that you'll come back and visit and become a part of what God is doing through Christ Community Chapel. If you're ever in Akron, we have services at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you drop in and visit with us. In particular, on the 13th, now we got a birthday party, so we want you to come. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. So we encourage you to do that. Would you please stand for a benediction? Now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.